Radsters, you are listening to the Weekly Roundup with Alex and Dan, home to the Barking Seagull. I am Dan, and today I'm actually riding solo to review Blink-182's new album, Nine, which was only released this week. Now, this was one of my most anticipated for 2019, so if you revisit that episode, you might prove me wrong. I can't actually remember. It's been a while since. But last year we did a music week at the Weekly Roundup where we talked about some of our favourite bands and how we got into them. We'll drop the links in below for those two episodes. But I've been listening to Blink since I was a teenager, so I think I picked up on them when I was about 14. And they've had a big impact on my life and the bands I listen to. A lot of the bands that I've listened to generally stem off from Blink-182. This one I've been quite excited for. So this is the second album with Matt Skiba on board and no Tom DeLonge. So I'm just going to jump straight in and I'm going to review each track as I go along. And then I'll give you my final verdict at the end. So the first track is called First Time. This is a strong intro, I think, to the album. It's got a nice big chorus. And I actually quite like the riff at the beginning, the intro. Starts off light and then hits you in the face with a big, nice punk pop riff. My only critique on this is I feel Matt Skiba's vocals sort of get lost in the mix a little bit. But otherwise, I think it's a good start to the album. Track two, we have Happy Days, which is actually one of the songs they dropped prior to the album being released, and this was probably one of my favourites, to be truthful with you. So after that sort of the fast start of the album with First Time, this sort of slows the album down a little bit, and I know we're only the second track in. For me, it lacks a big riff, and I'll sort of elaborate a little bit more on the big riffs at the end, towards the end of the episode. But the thing I liked about this, it's got a nice catchy chorus. And the lyrics, now I didn't quite realise what they meant until there is a YouTube video of Mark Hoppus where he explains the song. So the song is actually about doing something and then being unsure how to achieve something better. And I'm going to drop in a clip of Mark Hoppus talking about it. But I'll put a link to the full video below.
This song is an inner dialogue that I feel like I have with myself from time to time. It's about the doubts that I have where I'm like, you know, is this song good enough? Is our band good enough? Am I good enough? Am I ever going to write another good song? For myself as a songwriter, I wake up every day thinking I'm never going to write another good song.
So yeah, that is Mark Hoppus on the song. One of the things I actually quite liked about this song as well is at the end, the final chorus, it actually sort of goes double time. So if we're sort of speaking musical terms, if you imagine boom, 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 it then goes boom, 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 boom. A bit of a bad way to put it, but hey, I'm lacking resources, listener. But I really like this song. Is it the strongest out of the singles they released before the album dropped? No, but I'd say it's definitely up there. So track three, we have Heaven. Now this song is a little bit darker to the previous two tracks, but I love the lyrics in this, especially in the chorus where they sing about angel wings at the bus stop. Halo's left on top of the bar. Heaven doesn't want me. Heaven doesn't want me anymore. I'm not entirely sure, again, what this song might mean, but if I was going to hazard a guess, I'd probably say it's probably something to do with Heaven not wanting them anymore. They've done something bad. But on to track four, so Dark Side. Now, I feel like this was probably the strongest track that they released from the four or five in the build-up to this album. Now, this song doesn't really need a big guitar riff. It just sort of pulls you into Matt Skiba's vocals. And I feel like the vocals sort of really carry the track along with Travis's drums. Now, there's some great moments in this song, particularly the verses where Travis sort of goes off beat. and the sort of guitar follows it, and I really like that. It's sort of really, it really sort of catches and draws me in. But yeah, this is probably the strongest of the singles for me. I love the choruses as well. Brilliant track. But this leads me on to track 5, Blame It On My Youth. Now, this was the first song that they released from 9. So this was released, I think, back in June or July. And this was probably the weaker track of the releases. It does have a bit of a hint of Mark Hoppus' side project, Simple Creatures, and he sort of ties that into the Blink sound, particularly the outro, which is kind of cool. But I wonder if it's kind of necessary. It is very poppy, though. It's a good track. But this isn't your All the Small Things poppy. So when I think of Blink and their poppier tracks, All the Small Things generally sort of stands out. Now, this is one of their tracks that I think was released on Edinburgh Estate in 1999 and was actually released as a single in 2000. And when you think of Blink 182, All the Small Things is generally the track that you'd want to go to. But again, this isn't really it. There's a real lack of guitars. It is generally sort of a lot of keyboards and drums and bass. I mean, the guitars are there, but they're sort of very subtle in the background. But I think I'd want a little bit more if you're going to do something poppier like this. Track 6. Now, this is Generational Divide. And this really sort of picks things back up in the album. They did release this as a single, again, I think around June or July time, just after Blame It On My Youth. I wasn't actually keen on this when they first released it. It's only 50 seconds long, and I just thought, well, this is ridiculous. I thought we were done with the short tracks. But the more I started to listen to it, I sort of grew into this song. And I say, this sort of really sort of punches you in the eardrums. But it's a song that I want more from. Because it is a great track. But I want it to be a little bit longer. But the lyrically, I've got to wonder if this is about the divide in Blink 182 fans. So when you look at social media, and this divide is starting to get bigger and bigger, especially the old school fans that don't particularly like the new Blink 182 stuff, they're calling for Tom to come back. You do get a lot of, well, Blink's not Blink without Tom DeLonge. But yeah, are they better without Tom or are they worse? I mean, I'd like to hear your opinions, but I'll get to mine towards the end of the episode. Track 7, we have Runaway. Now, the vocals are quite interesting, and again, this sort of calls to Mark Hoppus' side project of Simple Creatures, where I think they probably used a vocoder to kind of distort the vocals a little bit. But it's got a melodic mid-8. Now, for anyone unfamiliar with the term mid-8, it's just a posh term for a bridge, I guess, when you sort of get to your second chorus and then you sort of break it down a little bit and then you go into the final chorus or the outro. But it does sort of throw me a little bit to Plus 44, which was one of Mark Hoppus' previous side projects after Blink split way back in 2005, I want to say. Definitely check them out. A great band. Probably has some of my favourite work from Mark Hoppus. Probably holds one of my favourite Mark Hoppus lyrics, which was, "The past is only the future with the light on." Brilliant lyric. But this does have a bit of a hint of, again, if you listen to the Plus 44 album, it sort of sounds a little bit like Weatherman, as it sort of takes you out of the track. But yeah, it's a good, strong song. I quite liked it. But this, again, sort of leads you into track 8, called Black Rain. Now, this opens with Matt Skiba singing over some organ, and I really liked it. But something really unexpected happens. So you've gone into this sort of really slow intro, and it's pulling you through, and then it builds up to a real pacey verse, which is really good. But the chorus sort of brings it all back down again. So you go back to this slow chorus, and it sort of brings you back to a fast verse. So it's got a good contrast in speeds. Great guitar work from Skiba. I guess you could almost say it was a bit Alkaline Trio-esque. And then we've got track 9, which is I Really Wish I Hated You. So this, again, I think this was the last single they released before 9 dropped. It's a bit of a melodramatic, slow pop song. I like the chorus, especially the part where it comes in with the vocals, "Won't You Say Something?" Soundscape-wise, it is a little bit empty, and I do want a bit more. So I want a bit more guitar, a bit more sort of heaviness. And I guess I focus on the guitar a lot because Blink-182 actually got me into playing the guitar way back in 2001. And as a musician myself, I sort of tried to listen to the guitar work and what it brings to the track, and I guess that's just me as the musician. So I want a little bit more, but that's not to say it's a bad track. That's just my critique. Track 10, we have Pin the Grenade, which is possibly my favourite song of the album, and it could easily be a single. It's fast, pacey. It's got great drums from Travis, especially as he sort of brings you into the song. Big, bold chorus, which is super catchy. It's super poppy, and I love it. It's so good. And there's a riff that sort of takes you out of the chorus into the next verse and into the outro. It reminds me a little bit of Andrew WK. Now, Andrew WK is a wonderful band way back to, I want to say, the early noughties. Party Hard is probably a track that sort of stands out if you go and revisit them. But it's almost like a party sort of going song. And it possibly has my favourite lyric on the album, which is "Just another night before I'm lost and all alone. If you're going to kill me, baby, please just do it slow." Very interesting song. But as I say, this is probably my standout track, so definitely check this one out for sure. But you might disagree. If you have a particularly favourite track, you can let us know and I'll drop in the socials at the end. Then we've got track 11, No Heart to Speak Of. Very much led by Matt Skiba, this one, and it is quite a dark song, especially when we talk about some of the lyrics. One that I was particularly drawn to was "Vultures in the Ashes, Separating Skin from the Bone," which is, say, quite ominous and dark. Big shouty chorus, which it does work, but the mid-eight, it's a bit bland and it's quite empty. I almost sort of want a bit more, maybe say a bit melodic guitar or a solo or something like that. But the outro really does scream, again, Mark Hopper's side project, plus 44, meeting Alkaline Trio, which was Matt Skiba's primary band before he joined Blink. Track 12, we have Ransom. So this is a bit of a short one at 1 minute 25. Really nice melodic opening. And then you get to about 45 minutes in where it's really punky and it just picks up the pace of the song. Vocally, there are some brilliant, brilliant harmonies in this. But like Generational Divide, it's another song you just want a little bit more of. So another, say, verse, a chorus, an outro, or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to revisit this album again, because sort of talking about it now, I've only listened to it once or twice, making the notes. But this album for sure could probably be a grower. There are some strong tracks on this song, on this album. 13, On Some Emo Shit, which is a bit of a bizarre title. Now, this song is really driven by a lot of melodic guitar riffs, And the chorus does sort of throw me a little bit to The Cure. Possibly not the strongest track on the album. But again, it's probably one I'll have to revisit. I haven't got many notes for this song. I sort of scribbled through this one. 14, Hung Over You, which again, nice pretty guitars. Lots of synths in the verses. But the choruses are quite heavy. Now, this is one of those songs that could probably belong on a previous Blink-182 album. I sort of want to revisit Neighbourhoods, which was their 2011 release. I mean, people would argue Neighbourhoods wasn't their strongest album, so it was very, I would say dysfunctional. So you had Tom DeLonge in one studio, and then you had Mark and Travis in another. So you can sort of tell it's very divided. But I think it's quite a good album. It wasn't their last album with Tom DeLonge, because I think they did Dogs Eating Dogs at the end of 2012, which was a 5-track EP. And you can sort of genuinely see what direction they were going to go in with Tom. But then, unfortunately, he decided to drop out to chase UFOs and do a little bit of Angels and Airwaves as well. I wasn't keen on the outro. It's just a bit weird. It's some drums and some weird sort of synthy bass stuff going on. Yeah, I'm not overly keen, but again, I'm going to have to revisit and listen to this one again. Now, track 15, Remember to Forget Me. This is a really nice acoustic number, and it is quite a sad-sounding song. It is a really stunning, beautiful track, which sort of builds up to bring you back down. So it's got sort of a big chorus again. So this seems to be quite a reoccurring topic of this album. So you've got big choruses that sort of draw you in. But the verses sort of come back and sort of bring you back down. The outro is a bit odd. I wouldn't say it's your typical outro to an album. And I probably wouldn't even say this is your typical final track to an album, because it is quite a sad one. But hey, that's just my opinion. But if I was going to give you a verdict on the album overall, I think this is probably Blink-182 just trying to sort of find their way without Tom. So California was good, but I feel like California had tracks on there that belonged on previous albums. So if I was going to revisit California, you've got songs like She's Out of Her Mind, which you could probably place on Enema of the State. Home Is Such a Lonely Place, which you could probably find on the Untitled album. The Only Thing That Matters, which would probably belong on, say, Enema of the State. But this album is a lot darker, at points a lot heavier. And lyrically, it is very, very good. And I'd say some of the lyrics I've mentioned are probably some of my favourites. But if you're looking for that memorable guitar riff, so I'm talking like The Rock Show or The First Date, All the Small Things, which again wasn't really a guitar riff, but sort of brings you in. What's My Age Again? You won't find riffs like that on here. You do miss Tom DeLonge's, what he'd probably describe as nursery rhymes on steroids, those kinds of guitar riffs. Again, sort of maybe something like Dumpweed, where if you listen to Enema, say that song just brings you in and it's just so good. But I say, lyrically, it is very good. And that's probably one of the saving graces if you're missing those big guitar riffs. And this is probably Matt Skiba and Mark Hoppus at their best writing these lyrics. But if you want to give us your thoughts on this album, you can get in touch with us on Facebook, which is The Weekly Roundup with Alex and Dan. We are on Twitter at @hello_twrad. We are on Instagram at @hello.twrad, or you can hit us up on email, which is hello.twrad@gmail.com. Alternatively, if you want to be part of the episode, we'll put a link in below where it will take you through to Anchor, which is our podcast hosting platform where you can leave us a voice message and we can drop you into an episode. So if you disagree with me, or if you do agree, or if there's certain songs that you really liked that I probably wasn't so keen on, please let us know on those socials. It would be great to hear from you and get your opinion instead of hearing me ramble on for 20, 25 minutes. Or perhaps you don't actually want me to do another album review again and you miss Alex by my side. But let us know. For me, I've been Dan, and I'll see you next time.